Yeah, alhamdulillah. How you guys doing?
Don't be scared.
I'm ready. Are you guys ready? I'm ready.
We're going to start.
There might be some muscle tension in that area.
Hey Gemma, you are giving up bad blood of your body.
Blood that your body does not want.
Hey Gemma.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, how you guys doing? We're gonna go through a hijama session. I'm gonna go do hijama myself. Hijama, for those that don't know, it is a really stressed upon sunnah. It's from the last and final mention of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. There are so many hadith statements from the Prophet Muhammad regarding hijama. Now, many of you maybe are familiar with the dry cupping. They missed something there. I'm sure there's benefits there in the dry cupping, but this would be more considered wet cupping. So you really want to tune into this episode. I'm gonna go through it on me myself, and then we're gonna ask some questions, and hopefully you guys will be turned out where you can make this a part of your life, so you can have better all-around health while incorporating this sunnah, and then helping others also, because the one who revives a sunnah, the Prophet ﷺ, will have the reward similar to the one who does it.
Assalamu alaikum. So you're the hijama master?
I am.
Is there like a certain name they give for the people who do hijama?
Hijama practitioners.
Hijama sheikh?
Practitioners.
All right. Or hijama mufti?
Maybe.
Mufti a hijama?
Maybe. Let me lead you to one.
All right.
Come on.
So this is the facility you guys got here?
Yes.
Very nice. So you even have a sister. Oh, the sister's got a 3 times, 4 times bigger room. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, mashallah. We have 3 ladies here that are doing hijama for women. And then we give women their complete privacy and do it completely separate for the ladies here.
See, so we have, you know, the men giving the men hijama, and the woman, you have a woman hijama expert to give hijama to the women.
Exactly. We want to make sure that we keep women very comfortable and give them complete privacy, but at the same time make sure that the woman that is doing hijama is also an expert. So the person who does hijama here, her name is Halima and a few others, she's been doing hijama here for more than 5 years.
So this is Fahad, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Come on in.
Alright.
This is the hijama room.
Okay. Nice. And these are the cups you guys use here. And this is the, for the people that don't know, this is a little table you sit. It's, people are familiar with the dry cupping.
Yes.
This is would be considered what, wet cupping?
Yeah, so we'll do both the dry cupping and the wet cupping, and I'll explain you the both process of the both and what's the difference in each one of them. Why would one choose to do dry cupping versus wet cupping? Where is it more popular and how is it going to be more beneficial?
Okay, you guys ready? I am. Let's do it. Okay guys, we're almost ready. You got me in like this gown. We're gonna go through the hijama. Don't be scared. It's fear of the unknown. So we're gonna do this episode, hopefully eradicate that fear, do knowledge, a little bit of this session here, me going through it, I'll be the guinea pig. I've done it before, and hopefully you guys will go through it so you know the process, all right? You're not gonna be under a knife or anything. It's very simple, it's no pain, but tremendous benefits. Okay, you ready? I am too, inshallah, let's do it. Okay guys, I'm on the table, we're about to start.
Brother Eddie, you ready?
Inshallah.
All right, wonderful, alhamdulillah. So what I'm gonna have you do is I'm gonna have you put your head down into this cradle, and then we're going to do hijama today on your back, right? A lot of the acupressure points are on the back. That's where the points are for some of the vital organs in the body. Also, some of the sunnah points are also on the back. So inshallah, we're going to start with that. So ready?
I'm ready. Are you guys ready? I'm ready. Bismillah.
I'm on this table. It's pretty comfortable. It's relaxing. It's chill.
As we get started with hijama, one of the things that we want to be extra careful with is probably going to the hygiene part of the hijama. So we want to make sure that we scrub your body really, really well and get all kinds of dirt and germs and bacteria out of the way. Proper hygiene is one of the keys of successful hijama and preventing any kind of side effects. What I like to do as a next step is put some essential oils on the back, so it gives the back a little bit soothness before the hijama process starts, but at the same time it kind of soothes your muscles. This oil also acts as antiseptic, antibacterial. So additional layer of hygiene, additional layer of protection on your skin. Hudaydi, so far so good?
Alhamdulillah, good.
All right.
Now how many cups do you typically use?
Typically we would use anywhere from 5 cups to 11 cups depending upon what we are treating. When we're doing the preventative hijama for somebody who wants to try hijama, doesn't necessarily have any chronic conditions, I would probably do about 7 to 9 cups on them. In your case, we're going to start with 7 cups on key points, also on sunnah points. So we're going to start with the point right here. This point is called a CT junction. This is where the thoracic spine and cervical spine comes and meet. So we're just going to put a cup here. Doesn't hurt at all. If it does, let me know. All we're going to do is give it a couple pumps. One, two, that's it. You doing okay with that?
Yep.
And then one more time, we're going to put a cup right here. One of the things to be careful about is that you're using the cups that are not previously used. But the cups we use are brand new. They're individually wrapped. When the patient comes in is when we open up these cups. So as you can see, this is a brand new cup that we're going to open right now. So we've got 7 cups on you, Brother Eddie. Are you feeling okay and comfortable?
Yep, feeling great.
Alhamdulillah. So let me just explain really quick. What we're doing right now is this is the dry hijama or dry cupping, you would. The term hijama, the Arabic term hijama, is more commonly known also as the wet cupping. So a lot of times this question comes up, what is the difference between wet cupping and dry cupping? This right here is the dry cupping. Right, this is where we apply the cups on the body without making any cuts. This has a similar effect as getting a massage done. So it releases the toxins, kind of gives relaxation to the muscles, any kind of muscle tension, it releases that. But what it does not do is remove the toxins. So that's why we need to go into the wet cupping or wet hijama. So as you can see, if you zoom in a little bit, you can kind of see that the texture and the color of the skin is kind of changing a little bit, right? Kind of looks like a bruise, but Brother Eddie, you tell us if it's hurting you at all.
No pain.
Painful.
No
right?
pain.
It's just painful, no right? Pain. It just looks like the bruises are there. So what's happening is that toxic blood is kind of collecting in that area. We use this technique of dry cupping before wet cupping so that we don't have to make deeper cuts. We can still get away with making shallow, very small scratches, if you would, not even cuts, which are shallower than paper cuts. Doesn't hurt, not discomfort at all. And then we get all that blood, bad blood out of that area. So this is the technique we use of dry cupping before we do the wet cupping.
So here you can probably see different coloration and texture of the skin, which indicates to me as a practitioner where are the problem areas and where there might be more stress. Let me give you an example. So this is one of the cups that we have at the base of the neck, which is not as dark as probably this point would be. So you can kind of tell that there might be some muscle tension in that area. So it just tells us to focus in those areas a little bit more. So right now we haven't made any cuts. This is just dry cupping.
So does every different spot that you put the cup on have a different effect?
100%. So I will go over different spots. So this is considered a CT junction spot. So this spot is responsible for mind and body. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he actually had hijama done on this spot right here. Right? It's at the CT junction, or you can say at the base of the neck. These spots right here have responsibility, or these are acupressure points for lungs and heart. Then you have points that are responsible for stomach and liver detoxification. And then a little bit lower, these are the points for diabetes. And then if we did go a little bit lower, those would be the points for kidneys. So together, these points gives the person overall health benefit. Now, it is not necessary that somebody have lung issues or somebody might have heart issues for them to take advantage of this. Just like your car, you wouldn't wait for the engine to fail in order to go and get oil change. Hijama is best when done as a preventative.
How long do you typically leave the cups on for the dry?
So for dry cups, we're going to leave it on for about 5 to 7 minutes. That gives us enough time for muscles to get prepared. It gives us enough time for blood to get collected in that area, and it gives us enough time to skin to get somewhat of a numbness as well, so you don't feel the cuts as much. So now what we're going to do is we're going to prepare for the wet cupping, or we're going to prepare for hijama. In that, what we're going to do is remove these cups.
So now you take them all off.
We're going to take all of them off. And now we're going to do the actual process of hijama. It is very important, the person who is doing hijama, that they use a tool that is sterilized. At Chicago Hijama, we use a sterilized surgical scalpel to make the cuts. This is individually packed. Never ever reuse any tool, any instrument that has been used on somebody else. Always make sure everything is used on you is brand new. Here, anything that touches a patient goes straight in the garbage. So we're going to open up this sterilized scalpel.
Do they have a number on those?
Yes. So this is a number 15 scalpel, and the reason we use number 15 scalpel is it makes the smallest and shallowest cuts versus some of the other scalpels that might use a longer blade and make longer and deeper cuts that can leave a scar. So we have to be very careful to do hijama in a way that prevents any kind of side effects, but also prevents any kind of scarring as well.
So someone doesn't leave hijama with just doing hijama and then they got a bunch of scars on their back.
In most cases, you should not have scars, but some people with certain skin type might have a very faded scar left on their back.
But typically nothing.
Typically nothing. Brother Eddie here, he has had hijama before, and I don't know if you can zoom enough. He has very, very faded lines here, right in this circle right here. He has very faded lines of scarring. It's almost not visible to naked eye, but I'm kind of making it so that you can see it. So this is kind of what is left behind after hijama is done. Right here is what's left behind in this circle. So nothing more than that. All right, so now inshallah we're going to start the process of hijama. What I would like for you to do, brother Eddie, is for you to read Surah Fatiha, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept shifa in Surah Fatiha. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that There's Shifa and Surah Fatiha. So we read Surah Fatiha, focus on the words of Surah Fatiha, and make dua to Allah to give you Shifa. Hijama is a spiritual process, not a medical process. So make dua to Allah to give you Shifa, because Shifa will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What you will feel is that you'll feel like I'm writing with a pen on your back. Nothing more than that. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't twitch. You're not going
to feel like I'm cutting your back. It doesn't even hurt as much as a vaccine. It'll hurt less than a vaccine. Just like I said, it'll feel like I'm writing with a pen on your back. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Take a really deep breath in, and then exhale all the way out. And one more time, really deep breath in, and then exhale all the way out. And one more time, fill up your lungs all the way. And then all the way out, 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 out. Now relax. And then just read Surah Fatiha and make dua to Allah to give you shifa, inshallah. Okay, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallam. You're doing good?
Uh-huh. You're doing good? Relax. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim.
And you mentioned the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about, upon paraphrasing the hadith, about the cure or something to do with the cutting at the moment of when it's cut.
So there is a hadith of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that in the cut of hijama there is shifa. That's one of the hadiths. Now, there has been many hadiths talking about hijama where Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has emphasized hijama upon his ummah. Now, with Ramadan coming, one of the things that's timely is that during the time of Isra wal Mi'raj, when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was coming down from the heavens, the angels of the heavens emphasize Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, "O Prophet of Allah, upon your ummah is hijama." Then there's other hadiths of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that when hijama is done, it has benefits on intellect, it has benefit of giving a better mental health, it has benefit of giving better digestive health. In another hadith, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that do not wait till your blood rages for you to do hijama. Kind of telling us to do hijama in a preventative way before the problem starts arising. Now with summer coming and hot weather coming, what that means with blood raging is in the summertime, your blood gets hot. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is recommending that upon you is hijama. Do hijama before your blood starts raging. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has recommended hijama for migraines. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has recommended hijama for mental health. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has recommended hijama for all sorts of health issues. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that out of all the things you do as remedy, the best of the remedy is hijama. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I prefer, there's three things that there's cure in. There's honey, there's cauterizing, and then there's hijama. And then Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I do not prefer cauterizing. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling the ummah to adopt honey and to adopt hijama for the cure. So as you can see with hijama process, there's no cauterizing. There is this general myth that hijama equals cauterizing, because in ancient time, or maybe even in recent history, people use fire cups to do hijama. In modern times, we use mechanical cups to do the exact same thing. Another myth is that if you do not use fire cups, then you're not doing hijama. That is absolutely not true. As you can see, we're doing all these steps of hijama as you would do with fire cups. Brother Eddie, how are you doing?
Good, alhamdulillah.
You feeling good?
Feeling good.
Any pain?
No.
Any discomfort?
No.
Okay, alhamdulillah. You feeling good?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So as you can see here, let me have this one.
How much blood is typically collected in the 7 cups, 11 cups? How many ounces?
So let me zoom in here. You can see that in different cups you have different amounts of blood. Typically you're looking at no more than 40 to 70 cc's of blood. So it's not a huge blood loss from these cups.
And this, is this the stagnant blood, the blood that, what's the difference between when you're giving blood, when you go and donate blood, and this blood?
So it's a really good question. What is the difference between donating the blood and
doing hijama? So a lot of people say that is hijama same as doing bloodletting or just donating blood? It's not the same. And the reason for that is when you are doing bloodletting or when you are donating blood, you are actually giving away good blood of your body. Versus when you are doing hijama, you are giving up bad blood of your body that your body does not want. So what is the science behind hijama and why is this recommended? What we are doing with hijama is we are causing a controlled inflammation at subcutaneous level. So just on the skin level, not going deep, we're causing a controlled inflammation. And after that, we cause a controlled wound. What that does to the body is it starts ringing a bell in the body saying, I have inflammation here, so the anti-inflammatory properties of the body or the chemicals of the body start rushing towards this area, giving the health benefit or health assistance that that area needs. Then we cause a controlled wound by making those small scratches. That does a few things. Number one, it gets rid of the toxic blood that is in that area. Number two, since it is a wound, the body comes to rush to help heal that wound. And then thirdly, since there has been a loss of blood in that area, body starts producing new, healthier blood that is more rich in oxygen. So that area benefits from it, the muscle benefits from it, and remember, that is an acupressure point. So the vital organs that are in that area also benefit from it. So in total, what you get is an overall better health. So very different from just, giving up blood or just donating blood. One of the other myths of hijama is that you are giving up a lot of blood. That is not necessary. Actually, hijama, when done properly, you should only be taking out a small amount of blood, not a cup full or 2 cups full. Those are not necessarily good practices, with all the respect to the people that are doing it. Those are not necessarily good practice. A good practice is to take out the amount of blood that we are taking out. And you achieve that by making shallow cuts, not long, deep cuts.
So you leave it on for 5 to 6 minutes with the dry cupping. What about now, as the blood is coming out, how long is it left on?
So with dry cupping, we leave it on for about 5 to 7 minutes, and then after that, we give a little bit rest to the skin, and then once that has happened, we do the wet cupping process, and we leave these cup on for about 7 to 10 minutes, no longer than that. That ensures that we're not going to be too aggressive where the skin or the muscles can't handle it.
When the blood comes out, why does it look like a sort of jello?
So when this blood comes out, you will see that it's going to look jello. And the reason for that is it is the toxicity in the blood that's going to give it the texture that you're going to see. A lot of time people say that when this blood comes out, it says, well, that's what blood looks like. When this blood comes out, you will see the healthy blood and you will see the unhealthy blood. The toxicity and the lactic acids and some of the other things that your body does not want is going to be in this blood. That's what's going to give it this texture and the color. Sometimes this blood comes out dark red, sometimes dark maroon, and when it's really toxic, it comes near black almost. So we'll see that. And then we also see that you will have some good blood coming out as well. So when we see good blood coming out, that's when we stop the hijama process.
How often do you recommend people do hijama?
I generally recommend people, if they have a chronic condition, I recommend them to do it every 3 to 4 weeks for 3 months. And then after that, they go on a quarterly schedule. The people that do not have any condition necessarily and they want to do it preventatively, I recommend them to do it once every 2 to 3 months.
Is there anything saying you can't, or would it be a problem if someone wanted to do it once a week?
The only problem with doing it once a week is that your skin hasn't had enough time to rest and heal.
What if you just moved it away from that point, not the
you
same
can, yeah, if you're not doing the same point, then you can do it. And the reason we can do it is because we're not taking a whole lot of blood out. Mm-hmm. So it's okay for your body to take some more blood out. Yeah. Another question comes up is this hijama only for men or is it also for women? So hijama can be done for both men and women. There's some myth out there that since women have menstruation, they have some blood loss and that's their hijama, if you would. That's not true. Even though that process does take place, women still need to do hijama because we still need to do cupping, put those cups on those acupressure points to give them better health. Alhamdulillah, we have certified and licensed hijama practitioners where we do hijama for women in complete privacy, done by those certified and licensed hijama practitioners. And there's tons and tons of benefits that people have seen doing hijama for women, from fertility issues to menstruation issues, migraines, back pain, shoulder pain, thyroid issue, diabetes. Women benefit from hijama immensely.
The thyroid issue is a growing epidemic. How do you treat the thyroid issue with hijama?
There are some acupressure points that help regulate the thyroid. And you know, we do hijama on those points, and we have seen a great amount of success with people that have a thyroid issue get balanced, especially a lot of people that have had, you know, weight gain with it, lethargicness, sluggishness, and some of the other health issues as part of the thyroid have seen great, great benefits from doing hijama.
Where do you typically put the points for the cups for your thyroid?
So the cups for thyroid, you put it on the neck right here.
Right there?
Yeah.
And how many treatments do you usually do if someone has a thyroid issue?
Yeah, so again, it's coming back. So if somebody has thyroid issue, it is considered a chronic illness. We ask them to come every 3 to 4 weeks for 3 to 4 months.
How about the different points on we covered from the neck down? What about when people do the hijama on their heads? Do you have to have it shaved if you do it on your head?
So hijama on the head is very, very beneficial. As a matter of fact, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said in a Sahih Hadith that do not leave out on doing hijama on the back of the head. There's immense amount of health benefits and mental benefits doing hijama on the head. The point for doing hijama on the head is right here. This is the main point of doing hijama on the head. And then there's two other points here and then the one here. But the main point is right here. You do need to shave your head because we cannot get suction of the cup on top of the hair. And now what we're going to do is, seems like we've collected enough amount of blood and the cup has been sitting for some time. So now we're going to remove these cups. I will try to show you what we're collecting from this. Ready?
Yes.
So what we're going to do is just put a paper towel right here. This is a brand new paper towel. We make sure we use a paper towel that is smooth on the skin. And we just, if you zoom in your camera a little bit, you can kind of see the quality of the blood that's coming out. See that? Right here. So we're just going to scoop that up.
So these are actual toxins leaving the body?
These are actual toxins. We're not just releasing it from muscles and letting it linger, but we're actually removing it from the body.
And that's the big difference between the dry cupping, and that's an Asian tradition, but then it goes back.
Yes, it goes back to the Egyptian times of doing the wet cupping, where things like massage and some of the other methods might release it from the muscles, but does not leave it from the body. So this right here is what I would call healthy blood. We have a little bit of that. And then what we're scooping up right here, as you can see, this is the bad toxic blood.
Do we find this kind of cupping in any other tradition other than Islam?
As you can see right here, this is, I mean, you can just imagine this was in your body right here. Something like this sitting in your body cannot be healthy.
Have you known of any scientists or doctors who've taken this to the lab and analyzed this?
There are a couple of scientists. There have been a couple of case studies done on hijama, and I can give you a link for that, where they have found hijama to benefit the body. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the common questions that come up is this Islamic treatment, or is this found in other cultures too? The fact of the matter is that this was adopted by Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but it goes back to Egyptian time and Greek times, and Chinese have also adopted it. So it's not only in Islam that this hijama is found. However, Islam has emphasized on a lot, with Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam making numerous hadith or sayings of the Prophet talking about hijama. And you can see the words of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are so true, you can see what is coming out of the body. There's no other treatment that I know of that is going to take these toxins out of the body, other than giving medicine. With all due respect to modern science and medicine.
Are you talking about, now that, are we clarifying medicine versus drugs? Because are you talking about the drugs nowadays that is prescribed by doctors, or are we talking about actual medicine?
So I'm talking about healthcare in general, yeah, right? Including medicine and drugs.
Yeah.
Where some of these ailments are targeted, yeah, with. But I do not know of any treatment out there that physically removes this kind of blood out of the body.
Nothing out there like this.
There's nothing, absolutely nothing out there like this, and not as effective as what hijama does in a very clean, very, very low risk environment if done properly. And gives these kind of benefit in almost, I don't want to over exaggerate, in almost instantaneous way. We're not saying that you need to be doing this for years and years or months and months before you're going to see benefits. I've had a lot of patients that have had chronic migraines for years and years, to a point where they were taking pain shots in their head in order to get rid of the migraines. And within 2 to 3 treatment, they're completely out of their headache. And they're not taking any kind of pills or any kind of drugs anymore to alleviate their illnesses. I had a patient recently, a young fellow, probably 18 years old, who came for hijama for arthritis. And when I asked him to change, he asked his mother to come in to help him change. I said, "You look pretty good. Why aren't you changing yourself?" He said, "I have arthritis so bad in my wrist that I cannot change out of my shirt. So I have to have my mother help me." He had 2 or 3 treatments, and after 2 or 3 treatments, one time I saw him at a basketball court playing basketball, and I asked him, I said, "You're playing basketball?" And he said, "Yes, my arthritis is gone." I said, "Well, did you increase your drugs, or did you starting some shots?" And he said, "No, just hijama. I haven't seen my doctor in 9 months." Now, this is not to say that when you do hijama, you stop seeing your doctor and stop taking drugs. Obviously, you want to continue following the advice of your medical healthcare professional. But this gives you an idea that how effective the hadith and the treatment that was prescribed by Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is. Now,
can you tell them what is the age of person they can do hijama? What's the age they can start and how old they can be? What's the oldest person and the youngest they can start?
Good question. That's a good question. That what is the age of a person that should do hijama? Hijama is good for all ages. We prefer to have young adults, no less than 16 year old, to do hijama, so they can kind of communicate with us if they're feeling comfortable and how they're feeling. And I try to avoid doing hijama to folks that are older or way advanced in their age. in a way that their healing capabilities have diminished. As you can see that this is a very shallow cut that we make, but there's still a healing process that needs to happen. So if somebody who is way advanced in their age is going to have a little bit tougher time healing from this. That also brings up a good question as of who is not a good candidate for hijama and who is a good candidate. Pretty much everybody is a good candidate for hijama with the exception of very few. A pregnant woman is not a good candidate for hijama. Somebody who has heart disease in a way that they are taking blood thinners and their doctors cannot let them stop taking those blood thinners, they're not good candidates for hijama. Somebody who has diabetes that is not managed, it is out of control, they're not good candidates for hijama. Somebody who has skin rashes or somebody who has a skin virus or skin problem are not good candidates for hijama. So as you can tell, there's very few cases where hijama is not recommended or is a contraindication for people. Other than that, somebody with migraines, somebody with controlled diabetes, somebody with blood pressure, stress, depression, anxiety are all very good candidates of hijama, including men with potency issue, women with fertility issue, women with menstruation issue are all very good candidates for hijama. So as you can see here, now we're kind of done with the hijama process. And this is what he is left with. I haven't touched him yet ever since I took the cup off. So this is what he looks like before I apply some of the oils and some of the preventative cleansers and stuff like that on him. So this is what he looks like. These are what the cuts look like. We're going to clean it up a little bit now. All right, so now I've put a fresh set of gloves on. And what I'm going to do is just clean you up really good.
Now, what do you use to clean up after you're done?
Right now, we're just cleaning up any kind of blood that might be left. And then, since we have already done the cleaning part before, we don't need to do necessarily another set of cleaning. What I'm going to do is I'm going to use some essential oils, so we stay in the natural world of things. These essential oils have black seed oil in it. It has olive oil, coconut oil, almond oil, eucalyptus oil, tea tree oil, bergamot oil, and some of the other essential oils that act as antiseptic, antibacterial, as well as it gives soothing to the skin. It also gives soothing to the muscles as well.
So this is all natural?
It is all natural. We try not to use anything that is not natural.
That's the way to go.
And then there's health benefits that are mentioned in the Sunnah for using black seed. So we incorporate that as well. So now that we are done with the procedure of hijama, one of the things we will do is, this was the scalpel that we use. We're going to make sure that we dispose of it properly and responsibly. Any kind of blood that we have removed in the cups is properly discarded and is picked up by a healthcare waste management company and is discarded in a responsible way. So, Brother Eddie, how are you feeling?
Good, alhamdulillah.
All right, I'm going to cover you up a little bit and you are ready to get up. Just get up a little slow, okay?
Yeah.
And just sit down.
All right, alhamdulillah.
Let's fix up your beard first. I don't have anything, but...
Another thing is like if you can incorporate not only this sunnah, but if you want to take a sunnah nap, this is a great place on this table to take a sunnah nap. It's very, very comfortable. It's very relaxing. So you can come and have a hijama session and re-implement a major sunnah in your life and also take a sunnah nap.
What we want to do now is make sure you're hydrated after hijama. So let me give you some water. And while we're on the path of adopting sunnah, I also want to give you some honey with black seed in it for you to take right now.
I can't express how much I love that. Look, what is this now? It's all natural. That's the thing. Nothing toxic. You see?
So this is honey with black seed. Just suck it up.
Honey with black seed. MashaAllah. Bismillah. Open it more. It's coming out.
No, you just push it from the bottom.
Mmm.
And just hydrate yourself.
And some water. This is great stuff. I'm telling you. And Islam is the natural way. And
This is another part of that we're missing out on. We're trying to revive this. Bismillah. Ah, alhamdulillah. It's quite different from if you're, you know, I guess certain drugs have their place, but I try to avoid any and all, but these are toxins coming in the body. This is like, you know, like he was saying, this is something that doesn't hurt. It's painless, pain-free. And afterwards, you feel good, you get rewarded. This is not going to be bothered. Let's talk about that for a second before we cut out. Because this is when you do this with the right intention, you're also rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that right?
It is perfect. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is exactly right. So you're not only getting the health benefits, but you're also adopting a sunnah. At a time where the sunnah is not necessarily as popular or as adopted, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there's an increased reward for people or for sunnah to be adopted, the ones that are not as popular as adopted.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I'm so really glad you came.
Alhamdulillah. You know, I'm happy to have come, and I just want to motivate people to really make this a part of their life. This is something I think that also for myself, way back when, I also didn't know about it. When I investigated it, like anything I'm going to incorporate in my life, I mean, you know, something that, you know, you don't know much about, you do some research, you look into it. I read abundance of hadith. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, you mentioned one hadith, but there are abundance of hadith. Right. And I saw this is something that the Prophet ﷺ was doing. This was like a stress sunnah. He really, yes. It's not like, this is something that is a benefit that we're preventing from reaching us if we don't implement it.
Right.
Can you elaborate on the amount of hadith there are out there on this, and why have people abandoned this kind of thing?
Yeah, I think for the long time this practice of hijama has not been as accepted because of the hygiene practices and from because of the modern medicine and drugs that have kind of taken over the healthcare. And Islamic medicine kind of went in the back burner for a bit. But you can see the benefits of hijama when people get hijama done and the benefits they see. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on numerous occasions elaborated and emphasized, do hijama, do hijama. Somebody came and said, O Prophet of Allah, I have headache. He said, do hijama. Somebody came and says, I don't have that much intellect. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do hijama. And if that was not enough, when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on Isra al Miraj, and as he was coming down, the angels of the Prophet, the angels of the heaven said, O Prophet of Allah, upon your ummah is hijama. And then he comes down and the angel says, O Prophet of Allah, upon your ummah is hijama. That is the testimony of the importance of hijama. Now see, here's the thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this body. And when he created this body, he knows exactly what is up with his body. So he educated Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to tell us, if you want to be cured, if you want remedy for any illnesses, do hijama, take honey. Do hijama, take honey. And make sure that we are also incorporating things like Surah Fatiha for shifa, because that's another thing Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has emphasized on. And then when you do that investigation and do that research and you finally come and do hijama, and you see that quality of blood, that toxic coming out of your body, and you say, Subhanallah, Wallahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is haq. This came out of my body that no other treatment, no other procedure can physically take this toxic blood out of the body, other than some people might think of bloodletting or blood donation. But believe me, if Red Cross was taking this kind of blood out of the body, they wouldn't want to do anything with this blood.
Yeah.
So they're taking the good blood, which has its own merits and benefits, right? But this is bad, yuck, disgusting blood physically coming out of your body.
Yeah, along with building a healthy body, you know, obviously we have the spiritual side. You have so many benefits in salah and prayer, you know, just living Islam, which is a natural way of life. You know, and then when we go on to the other part that's not left out, nutrition, you know, building a healthy body based on eating real food, you know, good nutritious foods. Nowadays you have a lot of processed, refined, you know, foods that are just really wreaking havoc on the body. So having good nutrition and then exercise and now incorporating things like
Correct.
This into your life,
Correct.
As opposed to, you know, I was one of those guilty of that. I thought, okay, there's a pill for every ill.
Right.
Because, you know, you have for anybody before, when if you'd watch a commercial, you have a ton. I mean, the pharmaceutical company is just pushing these drugs left and right, which are toxic. Mm-hmm. And many of them have 15, 16, 20, 30 different side effects. I remember Vioxx. I don't know if you heard of Vioxx.
Right, right.
You know, I used to take Vioxx for the back.
Yes.
And they actually, there was a big fight to get it off of the market. But I believe, last time I checked and I looked into it, 50,000 people died. Wow. From Vioxx.
Drugmaker Merck agreed to pay a $950 million fine to settle claims that it marketed Vioxx as a treatment for rheumatoid arthritis before receiving FDA approval to do so. The company will also plead guilty to misdemeanor charges. Vioxx was pulled off the market in 2004. Evidence showed that it increased the risk of heart attacks and strokes.
When Vioxx was first approved by the FDA in May of 1999, consumers were ecstatic at the prospect of getting their lives back. Intended to treat osteoarthritic, menstrual, and acute pain in adults, Vioxx was designed to be a safer painkiller compared to its alternatives. With average annual sales of $2.5 million, Merck's newest drug quickly became a blockbuster. In just 2003 alone, Vioxx sales accounted for 11% of Merck's revenue that year. But little did anyone know what fiasco was about to unfold. On September 30, 2004, Merck voluntarily ordered a withdrawal of Vioxx from the market after studies showed a doubled increase of heart attack and stroke in patients. Approximately 20 million people around the world had been taking Vioxx. It is further estimated this drug caused at least 50,000 deaths.
We'll have to report it there. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
You know, 50,000, that's what kind of war went on there, you follow me?
Yeah.
So these are those drugs that are out there, so I try to really bring to the forefront people reviving the sunnah, you know, yes, from how we eat to how we live. And this is just one of those things that if we can implement along with the others, because you can't just be eating all sorts of garbage and junk and whatnot and, you know, think this is going to be a miracle cure.
Right,
you know,
right. It's incorporating everything. I mean, even from eating perspective, if you just look at the hadith of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, eat one third, drink one third, and leave one third empty. Mm-hmm. Right? So, but Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew what is to come in the future. People are going to take in toxins. It's almost inevitable to not take toxins. We have toxins in the air. Some of our water quality is so bad that we have toxins. So Prophet ﷺ gave us a cure. That when that happens, this is the cure you want to take. When you have headache, this is the cure. When you have blood pressure, this is the cure you want to take. Alhamdulillah, people continue to surprise me when they come back and tell me different benefits that they've had with hijama. One person recently came and he said that he's able to see a lot better. A funny story is, somebody came and he said that after I had hijama done, I started seeing a little blurry, and that really scared me. So I said, go see a doctor. So when he went to see the doctor, he said, the reason you're seeing a little blurry is your glasses are now overpowered. Your eyesight has actually gotten better. And he had to lower his number on the glasses. I'm not sure what's going on now, but that was a surprise even to me. One lady, like I said, she came in the middle of February, it was minus 10 degrees. She came in and she had no jacket on, just wearing a t-shirt. And I said, sister, no jacket, it's snowing outside. She said, brother, father, I can't wear a jacket because when the collar of the jacket touches my neck, it triggers my headache. It's so bad that she takes Botox shots on her head to get rid of the headaches. I saw her after 2-3 months of doing hijama a couple times, and I said, what are we doing? We're doing headache hijama again? She's like, no, headache is gone. And I was like, I'm sorry, did your doctor give you a different pill? She said, no, I haven't seen my doctor in a very long time now, and my headache is gone from hijama. Mm-hmm. So this is just a testimony of the truth and the haq that is in the sayings of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Islam.
And that's the main thing now. If this was something that was passed down for some ancient tradition that now didn't have no connection to Islam or whatnot, and you're like, okay, guessing, is it good, is it not, and what, you know, because it's not part of the standard medical care system. What trumps all that is that we keep saying Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this is divinely sent to him from the creator of the heavens and the earth, to him being the last and final messenger. That trumps all that. And these are authentic hadith.
These are authentic hadith, sahih hadith, the hadith that talks about that hijama gives you better intellect, hijama gives you better digestion, Hijama gives you better health. These are all authentic hadiths.
All right. So I hope you guys are convinced to incorporate this into your lifestyle. Again, you can go ahead and weigh it out. You can, you know, like many toxic things that are out there that we put in our body, you know, with so many different side effects, versus you have a way here which really painless, pain-free. I didn't feel any pain. You can take a little sunnah nap, right? You're more actually efficient in the day when you take a little like 20, 30 minute nap, power nap, they call it. And then you implemented a sunnah, you get rewarded. It's a win-win across the board.
100%.
Win-win across the board. So no pain, no any side effects?
The only thing is that you might feel a little irritation in your skin because of the dry weather and things like that. Yeah. That's why we put some oil on. We, alhamdulillah, have not had anybody who came back and said that after I did hijama, this happened. I guess, but since there is a cut, there's a chance of getting infection. So you want to make sure that you keep it clean. You wash it properly and keep it clean. There's no need for you to put any bandages on. Yeah. Just let it air dry and let it cleanse naturally.
Okay, so if people are in the Chicago area, they can come visit you. Where at? How can they find you and hook up with you?
Yeah, so just go to www.chicagohijama.com. We have an app on your Android and Apple iPhone as well. Just look for an app called Chicago Hijama. You can do a lot of research on ChicagoHijama.com. One thing I would tell all your viewers is that there's a lot of information out there and there's a lot of YouTube videos out there. Unfortunately, in certain areas, hijama is being practiced in a non-professional manner. However, especially in the United States or our place, we do it in a very, very professional manner. Our practitioners are all certified and some of them are licensed as well. We do it in a very hygienic manner here. Don't get scared by looking at those videos. Some of those videos can be really scary. Alhamdulillah, that's why Brother Eddie wanted to show you guys firsthand what happens and how hijama is done. Take a step. Take a step, take a leap of faith a little bit. You want to do research. Our website has an abundance of information on it. www.chicagohijama.com. We have male practitioners and female practitioners here to help you.
So even if you're maybe making a pit stop in Chicago, you visit the Devon or whatever, you made an appointment, you know, making a family affair, stop in. What about someone who's in a rural area? They don't plan on visiting Chicago. There's no place like this out there. Is there any workshop, something that someone can do? Maybe someone's a chiropractor, maybe a medical practitioner, and they want to incorporate this into their private practice. Or, you know, someone wants to do some workshops. Do you guys have any video, anything that you travel and do seminars? Or
there are some trainings available out there. We don't necessarily train people. We're not certified to train. But I would encourage any chiropractor that's out there, acupuncturists that are out there, or medical doctors to start and incorporate this in their practice. Any assistance they would need, we're happy to help them with it.
So they can do that.
They can do that, and we're here to support.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's it. This is the hijama session with me being the person having it done. It was great. I'm telling you, stop in here, check it out, look into it, look at all the benefits, revive this sunnah. Thank you guys. Thank you very much.
Jazakallah. Thank you. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. How are you doing? Dr. Z. Alaikum. How do you say your last name?
Zahirullah.
Zahirullah. So, you're attending doctor.
Yes, internal medicine attending doctor.
Okay,
yes,
so you are familiar with hijama?
Yeah, I had the opportunity to do hijama with Brother Fahad not more than a couple months ago.
Yeah. How was that experience?
It was very rejuvenating. You know, it helps the circulation, helps to relieve some muscle aches and pains that I was experiencing. I'm into fitness, a lot of working out, and sometimes you get some injuries, some pulls, and things like that. So I found it really rejuvenating. Mm-hmm. And not to mention the sunnah aspect of it as well.
Yeah.
It's definitely beneficial.
Now, it's kind of nice to hear a medical doctor having nice things to say, because it's not part of the standard of care, hijama.
Right. I mean, the Western medicine, there's a big divide between Eastern and Western medicine, but all branches of medicine are respected. It's just basically, it's just like the big brother type of thing. You know, they don't accept it openly, but there is definitely a lot of, merit to it. And the reason why is, you know, a lot of the big medical schools are run, you know, their way, mm-hmm. and a lot of money involved in it. So lately there's been more of an opening and awakening to doctors of osteopathic medicine and other types of medicine that help heal the body in different ways rather than just giving pills to people. So definitely it gets into the nitty-gritty of it, getting into more of a physical medicine aspect.
I like what you just said, instead of just giving pills to people.
Yes. I'm not the last thing I try to do is treat with pills. They're not really, I mean, this is just chemicals and pharmaceutical stuff. Obviously, there's benefit when there's major issues, but when we have small ailments and muscle aches and pains, there's a lot of different things that we can try instead of just medicating and treating all the time with pills.
What else can you tell us about the hijama that the knowledge that you've acquired about it?
Well, as far as hijama, you know, it's like a reverse massage. Instead of, you know, everybody knows that a massage feels good when you loosen the muscle tissues and things like tightness. So this is basically the reverse of it. It pulls the skin up, gives you some suction, and allows the blood, increases blood flow. It can be beneficial in many ailments, high blood pressure, migraines. Also in rheumatic diseases, there's some benefit to also rheumatic diseases as well. So a lot of medical benefits, definitely.
And this is coming from a medical doctor telling us these things. So it's great to hear that from you. What other advice can you give us? So you had you mentioned the drugs, which many of them are toxic, right?
Yes.
Many side effects.
Yes. There's a lot of medicines that may seem harmless, but take a good amount of it and it will kill you. Like an aspirin is beneficial when somebody's having a heart attack, correct? It inhibits the platelets from clumping, but if you take 20 of the aspirins, then you know you'll die.
Yeah.
So these all have a toxic effect, and fortunately there are other means of trying to treat things, but definitely. You know, do talk to your doctor before you stop any medicines. This is not any medical advice for anybody. Mm-hmm. But there is a limitation to all kinds of medications. For example, also non-steroidal anti-inflammatories like ibuprofen, Aleve, these over-the-counter things. A lot of people come into my hospital all the time saying, hey, I have dark stools, because it can cause bleeding in the gut. So treating ailments just with the medicinal way is one aspect, but another aspect is, you know, looking at all of the other alternatives to medicine as well, and hijama is one of them.
And as a doctor, as doctors out there, you take the Hippocratic Oath?
Hippocratic Oath, correct.
Exactly.
Yes.
And what is that for people that
do no harm? Do no harm. Yeah, so it's very specific, and you have to be very careful when you're treating individuals that you're not going to cause this person harm. So my big advice to all my patients is always be discerning of what you're taking. Don't just take it randomly. Do not take medicines just because you feel like taking it. Always, there's always some sort of benefit, and the inverse relationship is always some sort of harm when it's not taken properly or taken too much of.
So we got a thumbs up for the hijama for you?
Thumbs up, absolutely. I'm also a customer, or a proud recipient of hijama. So alhamdulillah, you know, gets a lot of benefits.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Dr. Z, being
nice
on the Dean Show, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Get on the hijama, you hear that?
Absolutely.
All right, salam alaikum.
So if people come in, you're one of the people that they'll meet here and greet. You'll greet them with a nice big smile.
Yes.
What's your name?
My name is Syed.
Syed, come see Syed at the front at Chicago Hijama. It's nice little waiting area, beautiful.
That was my session, alhamdulillah. I'm telling you, get up on the hijama. Let's revive this. Go ahead and tell more people. Try it. Tell more people about it. And inshallah, we can revive this lost sunnah. You follow me? If you're in Chicago, stop and check them out here at the Chicago Hijama. Do your research. Check it out. And you'll see tremendous benefits. I really recommend. You had a doctor testify to it. Medical practitioners should take the lead on this. Incorporate this instead of just pushing, like, you know, the doctor was saying, drugs with all these different side effects. Everything has their time and place, but you know, we should try, you know, nutrition, strengthening the body from within, and then incorporating these practices from the sunnah, natural means, do no harm, you know, Hippocratic Oath, you know, the path that's going to lead to the least amount of harm for the patient. So chiropractors, doctors, look to incorporate this and many of the other natural means that are out there, and inshallah, we can make a difference. Subscribe if you haven't already. See you. Assalamu alaikum.